Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The search continues in Kotzebue for a missing 10-year-old girl. Alaska State Troopers report that Ashley Johnson Barr was last seen leaving a local park at 6 o'clock Thursday evening. A statement issued by Kotzebue Police Saturday says Johnson Barr's cell phone was found in a city street about a half mile from the park in the opposite direction of the route to her home. Numerous agencies are involved in the search, including Arctic Circle Search and Rescue, the Northwest Arctic Borough Search and Rescue, the Coast Guard, Mattsu-based search dog teams, and hundreds of volunteers. A state incident management team arrived in Kotzebue over the weekend to organize the search, most of which is being conducted on foot. It's included a grid search of the city, surrounding area campsites, and structures. An ordinance ratifying a contract with Fairbanks City firefighters and another changing the way labor contracts are negotiated go before the City Council tonight. The Fairbanks Firefighters Association is one of three unions with members who work for the city. The city and the FFA are negotiating after an earlier version of the contract was voted down by the council in July. Firefighters are working under terms of an arbitrator's award the council agreed to last year, but the council has not funded a second year. Another city ordinance proposes to amend Fairbanks' general code for labor relations and negotiations. At an August 20th public hearing, union representatives said they had not had a chance to review the proposed changes, and the council postponed the ordinance until tonight. Tonight's council meeting will start a half hour earlier than in the past. The council approved an ordinance at its August 20th meeting that reset the start time to 6:30. The ordinance also moves citizen and council member comments ahead of regular business on the agenda. Citizens' comments on items not up for public hearing run until 7:30. Council members June Rogers and Jerry Cleworth sponsored the ordinance to better serve citizens who previously had to wait until the end of council business, often until 10 p.m. or later, to make their comments. The format is similar to the structure of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly meetings. Moving council comments ahead of other business gives members a chance to quickly address questions residents may have raised during their comments. The University of Alaska Fairbanks-operated research vessel Sikuliak is proving to be a good investment. That was a key message from UAF College of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences Dean Bradley Moran during a Sikuliak update for UA Regents last week.
The state of Alaska provides $500,000 a year as an investment that turns back a roughly $12 million in revenue.
UAF operates the Sikuliak for the National Science Foundation, which funds research projects, and Moran says much of the NSF-funded work is conducted by UA-based researchers.
And in fiscal year 18, believe it or not, 74% of the time at sea doing science, it was someone from the university on that vessel. That's an amazing statistic. We were shooting for 20% in our strategic plan.
Moran says that will help the university when it has to compete to retain the NSF operation contract in 2023. Moran also highlighted the recent purchase of a large trawl net that will enable the Sikuliak to conduct fisheries research.
It's a very large contraption, takes a lot of people to use, so we'll see how this goes. But I do believe that this investment of about $250,000 will open up some new funding opportunities that we don't actually have on the ship right now.
Moran says the trawl, which has under-ice fishing capability, was purchased with funds left over from the sale of the NSF's previous research vessel, the Alpha Helix. Moran says the university is also investing in up to five new faculty who will work aboard the Sikuliak.
This is important because we want to ensure faculty at University of Alaska Fairbanks and across the state, of course, use this vessel.
Noting challenges facing the Sikuliak program, Moran listed the need for a new $10 to $12 million pier facility at Seward, but said he does not believe that resecuring the NSF operating contract in 2023 is contingent on building a new pier. Fuel for oil field operations arrived on the North Slope by barge instead of truck earlier this month for the first time ever. Dave Pfeiffer, president and CEO of barge contractor Colville, tells the Alaska Energy Desk that barging is a practical move for the company, which supplies about 90% of the refined fuel for oil field operations on the North Slope.
The industry demand has increased and is anticipated to increase, and so a fuel barge is a way to augment our trucking.
There's an increasing number of big oil projects being planned and developed on the North Slope right now, especially west of Prudhoe Bay. That's where companies like Conoco have made large oil discoveries recently. Pfeiffer says bringing fuel up by barge is now possible due to declining sea ice,
which has allowed the ability for barges to come in that hadn't been in years past.
Pfeiffer expects barging to become a regular part of the company's fuel delivery system and perhaps even increase in coming years. Colville typically delivers 20 million gallons of fuel to the North Slope a year, which requires about 2,000 truck deliveries. One barge delivery is equivalent to about 200 truckloads. Pfeiffer says that Colville's interest in barging stems in part from a 2015 event where ice and water flooded the Dalton Highway and held up transport.
No truck was able to get past it for about 18 days. So the supplies ran out, and it was only critical services only that the oil companies allowed to burn fuel.
Pfeiffer says that barging provides the company another way to get fuel to the North Slope should something like that happen again. A global collaboration of public and private groups are working to completely map the seafloor by the year 2030. From Alaska's Energy Desk in Juneau, Rasha McChesney has more from two Alaska companies who are pitching in on the effort.
The Alaska Gasline Development Corporation is spearheading a project that could lead to the state getting a pipeline from Prudhoe Bay down to Nikiski in Cook Inlet. There, liquefied natural gas would be loaded onto tankers and then shipped to Asia. But before they could decide if it was feasible to do that, project managers needed to know what the bottom of the inlet looked like. Cook Inlet has extreme tides, giant boulders, and moving sand waves that could potentially bury the pipeline. So they hired a geoservice company to chart it out for them. And it turns out that Fugro, that's the company they hired, is part of a massive effort to completely map the seafloor by 2030. Fugro Alaska General Manager Rada Hajinova told me about it at a recent conference in Juneau.
Surprisingly, the world's oceans are not mapped. They just look like they are, but it's just a visual trick.
Yeah, wait, I use that Google Earth thing all the time where I'm scrolling through to see what something is. Are you telling me those maps are a lie?
Those are just fillers. That's what we think it is. It's not based on any sounding or any measurement.
Fugro is partnering with this Seabed 2030 effort to replace those filler charts with real data. To do that, they're doing new mapping expeditions and helping to convince governments, private companies, and other sources of seafloor data to make it public, including the state's Gasline Corporation.
And, we thought about it for a bit, and we said, yeah.
That's Fritz Krusen. He's a VP at the Gasline Corporation.
This sounds like something good for the public, for the Cook Inlet fishermen and for the marine traffic that goes up and down to Anchorage through the Cook Inlet.
Krusen says the state corporation has to clear the request with BP, ConocoPhillips, and ExxonMobil first. They're the ones who own the original data. But he expects the data to be released in a few weeks. They're not the first company in Alaska to pay for marine charting data, then turn it over to the public. In late 2017, the broadband company Quintillion finished installing more than 1,000 miles of cable along Alaska's Arctic coast, bringing internet to communities from Prudhoe Bay to Nome. And just like the state's Gasline project, the company needed to know what was happening under the water before it could install the fiber optic cable. Christina Woolston is the company's VP of External Relations. And she says when the company started its project, there just wasn't a lot of information available about the seabed floor in the area.
We had a blank map to start from, and we surveyed the seabed floor along about 1,000 miles along the coast of Alaska.
Because this is the first time this type of work has been done in the area, Woolston says it adds data that could be used to build functional charts for everyone from fishing boat captains to new private industry in the Arctic. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Rasha McChesney in Juneau.
And I'm Dan Bross.